Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. You know, when Jesus conquered the kingdom of darkness, he also destroyed the power fear had over mankind. Now, as a child of God, fear has no right to control you. However, you must maintain your freedom from fear by choosing to trust in God's love and his promises to you. Today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a special broadcast they want to share with you. And in this message, you'll discover how to live a fear-free life by casting all your care over on God, who cares very much for you.
The person that allows fear to contaminate their thinking, contaminate their speaking, will contaminate their faith. Now, remember, we found this out last night also, that when you got born again, you no longer had a fountain of fear on the inside of you. You have the fountain of faith in there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but faith worketh by love. All right? But if you continue to think about you might not, I might not, they might not, God might not, you know it's very hard to disbelieve love. You start thinking, well, love might not heal me. That don't sound right. That don't fit, does it? Well, love don't care anything about me. What kind of a statement is that? Now, you're going to say, well, God, in his infinite wisdom, might want me to keep this disease. But you can't say love wants me to keep it. Hallelujah. They come give you some bad news. I mean, Gloria and I have had this kind of thing happen in our family numbers of times. You don't lock in on what might happen. You lock in on what love has said in his word. And you become steady. I don't care if you're jumping around on the inside. Don't ever jump around on the outside. Don't tip the devil off. If you have to, deliberately slow down. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in me. I have no fear. I fear neither man nor beast nor demon. God is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? It don't take you long, particularly if you practice this very long. It don't take you long. I mean, you get to laughing at death. You get to laughing at the devil. I mean, you just spit in his eye. And he does not have a clue what to do with you. But you start this thing, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to do? Hurry up, Brother Copeland, hurry up. They're going to die before we get there. Go, go, what are we going to do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh. That kind of praying is disastrous. I can't say it stiffly enough. It brings disaster. Fear-based prayer brings and sets up disaster. Let's go to the book of Job for a moment. This book has been terribly misunderstood because of what people wanted it to say, that it does not say. But people wanted it to say this. I have a translation that I've enjoyed reading in the past, and I found some things yesterday in the book of Job, and I thought, that doesn't say that. And so I got the concordance, and I got all the words down and looked them all up, and there's no way it said that. It only said it in his translation because that's what he wanted it to say. Impossible for it to be translated that way. A lot of that. In the first chapter of the book of Job, first of all, let's look at from verse 12 Now let's back up and read down into that. I'll tell you what. To get the circumstantial setup here, let's don't hurry through this. In the very first part of the first chapter, verse 4, Job's sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. Nothing wrong with that. And offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said. Now, he didn't say something of faith. He made the mistake. He didn't realize he was doing this. He made the mistake of speaking fear. Now, this is where it starts, right here. He said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in his heart. Thus Job did continually. Well, if he did it continually, that means he said that continually. He's got a worried mind, doesn't he? His praying for his children is fear-based, not faith-based. He's doing all the right actions. He's making sacrifice, but he's not making it in faith. So if you make it in fear, you have to make it over and over and over and over and over again. If you make it in faith, you don't have to make it but once. Now then, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before love, and Satan came also among them. Now you remember what we found out about adversity in this meeting? Don't even say that God is behind adversity. You remember Brother Mac talking about that? Huh? Do you know what the Hebrew word translated Satan means? Adversary. Adversity, adversary. They mean the same thing. So it is the adversary that brings the adversity. Amen? He doesn't bring a blessing. He doesn't have any. He can't. Now, the Lord said to the adversary, Satan, whence comest thou? Then the adversary, Satan, answered love and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And love said to Satan, the adversary, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? My goodness, you mean in the whole earth there wasn't anybody like this? Well, the earth is in a mess, wasn't it? A perfect, a fully grown, mature, upright man that fears God. Now, the word translated fear there is not fright or afraid or terror. It is reverential respect. Highly respectful, but yet in covenant with. Honor. Due benevolence. You know how much he loves you. You know how much he cares for you. You know that you have great freedom in his presence. Yet when he walks in the room, you stand up as quickly and as straight as you can. Because, not because you're afraid of him, but because you so reverence him. And just the fact that the biggest thing there is my Father. Oh, hallelujah. Now that we understand that, The Lord of love said to Satan, the adversary, have you considered Job? Then Satan, the adversary, now here he goes, listen to him. He hasn't got any respect. He's the adversary. Satan answered. Do you realize that this punk is talking to the Most High God? He has no respect. Satan answered the Lord of love and said, does Job fear you for nothing? Does he honor you for nothing? Oh, it's a good thing I'm not God. Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed or empowered the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You put forth your hand now, touch all that he has, and he'll curse you to your face. The Lord of love said to Satan, the adversary, behold, that word means look, lo, L-O, which means look and see. It means see. I looked up every word in the Bible translated behold, and there's no word in there that says here. It says look. My translation is look, stupid. Satan has no revelation of it. Quit giving him credit where he doesn't have any coming. Behold, look, all that he has is in your hand. Only upon himself put forth not your hand. So Satan the adversary went forth from the presence of the Lord love. Now I'll tell you something else the Lord is. He is not a liar. No way. He did not give Satan the authority to come on to Job. Now, the first thing that this refutes is God didn't have anything to do with it. Satan tried to get him to do it, and he wouldn't do it. Satan is the adversity. God is love. Now, listen to what... Don't forget that God calls things that be not as though they were. He called Job upright. He called Job perfect. He called Job mature. He called Job none like him. I don't care what Job was doing. God, love, knew him before the foundation of the world. Love is telling the devil the same thing about you. That's my perfect child. That's my sinless baby. Oh, how could he say that about somebody like me? The blood! He has faith in the blood. Amen. Now, once you settle that, see, we've already found out what was going on here. We found out how Job allowed himself to get into Satan's authority. We found out how he did it. Fear-based prayer. Fear-based confession over his children. Continual sacrificing over and over and over and never believing a one of them. Now, I want you to notice what happened. Let's just read in verse 13. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I'm the only one escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another one and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and have burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. Now, first of all, here's a bunch of wicked people that came on the scene. Well, God didn't send them, did he? Second of all, there's a strong squall line came through there, and it was full of lightning and set the whole place on fire. And then while he was yet speaking, there came another one and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I'm the only one left to tell it. And while he was yet speaking, there came another one and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. Everything that happened to his cattle, to his children, to his property, everything that happened there is under the curse. None of that stuff came before the fall. None of that was in the Garden of Eden. Squall lines, thunderstorms, and hailstorms are not acts of God. They're acts of the God of this world. They came into this world when this world became contaminated, the atmosphere is contaminated, and the thing is off its axis several degrees, and weather is a serious problem. Amen. The devil doesn't have a whole lot of control over it. But when it sets up, he'll use it every way he can. And if he can prod you into talking like this man talks, then the storm is easy to run it right by your house, particularly if you'll blame God for it like he did. Are you with me now? So all this stuff doesn't come from God. It came with the curse, came with the fall. And it came on him through the fear. Now let's go to the third chapter, verse 25 and 26. This is extremely revealing. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Now look at this verse right here. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Now, why? What's he talking about here? How come you say that like this? Now, here's what happens to fear-based believing, fear-based praying, and fear-based thought life. He said, I wasn't quiet. I was upset. He thought he was being conscientious about this thing. He said, I had no peace about this. I was not still about it. And now, in our vernacular day, he said, I'll tell you what, I worried about this thing day and night. I prayed over them kids every time they went to one another's house. And I tell you, I did all I knew how to do, and it came on me anyway. That's what fear-based prayer sets up for you. Now, God's the one who's getting the problem. You thought you were so sincere. You thought you were so conscientious here. Oh, and you think if somebody were to tell you, don't carry that care, you all you hear is irresponsibility. You're not hearing faith if this is your mindset. Now, not like Job, we don't do sacrifices, but we plead the blood. Our sacrifice has already been made. Amen. Now, the Amplified Translation in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 said, casting the whole of your care over on him once and for all. Now, I want to show you something.
See my keys here? Brother Copeland, can I, may I borrow your car? Well, you know, I really don't mind, but you'll have to talk to Jesse about it. Why? I don't have the keys. I cast the keys over on him. I didn't say they weren't my keys, but I don't have them. And I don't want to talk to you about it. I cast the whole responsibility over on him, and I don't want to talk to you about it. Why should I stand here and talk to you about those keys? I haven't got them. You follow me? I didn't say there wasn't any keys. I said, I don't have them. Now, that's what you do with your cares. Now, the next step, that I'm telling you this, the next 30 seconds, I guarantee you your mind will give you a chance to be afraid. And it'll start trying to talk to you about what you just cast over on God. You have to obey the word that says casting down imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of love, against the word of God, against what you know the word already says about this situation. Then the Bible says, be anxious, fearful about nothing, but in everything. This doesn't mean just now and then when you think about it. Everything. Now, if God said everything, that means two things. One, it means everything. Two, it means you can do it. It's doable. Not without faith in the Holy Ghost, but it's doable. And it also means anything less than everything is going to contaminate your faith with that anxiety. Oh, Brother Copeland, you mean all of my thoughts? What do you want to put up with a little trash for? It says, cast them down. It says, be anxious, fearful, worryful, careful about nothing. Yes. But in everything through prayer and thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known unto God. Not through begging, through prayer and thanksgiving. Then it also says, casting down imaginations, every high thing. But now the next verse of that is, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the anointed one and his anointing. Or you could put it like this, to the obedience of the Lord who loves you. Now what you do? How do you bring it into obedience? Well, for one thing, you speak instead of think. And then the other thing is, it tells you exactly how to do that. Think on these things. Whatsoever thing is pure, whatsoever thing is just, whatsoever thing is true, whatsoever thing is lovely. Now you could exchange that word with godly. A godly thought is a lovely. Something may be true and not lovely, yes. You ain't got no business thinking
That's
about
right.
it.
Imagine a life untouched by fear. What could you accomplish if you weren't afraid? How far could your faith in God take you? Learn how you can live without fear with 7 Steps to Walking Fear-Free, an audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. But Jesus already delivered you from the spirit of fear at the cross. When he defeated death, he destroyed the root of fear and all of the curse that is attached to it. Fear of lack, sickness, disappointment, death doesn't have a hold on you anymore. Decontaminate your faith by renewing your mind to the Word of God. Even in the midst of pressure and tribulation, you can be of good cheer. Believe and receive the love of God. Draw near to Him, and fear has to flee. It's time to live a life of love and joy and truly walk in freedom from all fear. Discover how to live the fearless life that Jesus made possible for you. Request your copy of 7 Steps to Walking Fear-Free, an audio teaching by Kenneth Copeland. A fear-free life is your covenant right today. Go to our website, kcn.org/tvspecial, or call 800-600-7395. Free offer good for 60 days. Outside of the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
I want to remind you of what Psalms 23 says. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack any good thing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, even if there are fearful situations all around you, we do not have to fear. The Almighty God, our shepherd and our Heavenly Father is with us. Take time to think about the greatness of our God's goodness. Then remember, He is the same God who loves you and has made provisions for everything you'll ever need. Put your trust in His love for you. Follow Him as He leads you, and you'll experience His protection, provision, and peace in every area of your life. After all, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Now, if you'd like additional teaching to help you get established in the truth that God loves you and push all fear out of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift they want to send you, and it's called 7 Steps to Walking Fear-Free. Join Brother Copeland for a study in God's Word and discover the 7 biblical steps that will help you maintain a fearless life. God is your loving Heavenly Father. He doesn't want any of His children held captive by fear, depression, or worry. That's why He sent Jesus to free you from the bondage of fear. Learn how to put these 7 principles of God's Word to work and start enjoying the fearless life Jesus made possible for you today. This message is available as a CD or as a digital download. To request your free copy, go to kcm.org. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, this is Brother Lair reminding you, God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.